Look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful psalm, and a very famous psalm, obviously, one that everyone knows. Everyone knows Psalm 23, also a very famous song. And so it's just something really important that the Lord laid on my heart. And it's interesting to me that when you read through the scriptures, especially this psalm, I love this. These three psalms, Psalm 22, 23, and 24, it speaks of Jesus as a shepherd. And this one is really entitled, The Great Shepherd. And oftentimes in the scriptures, God refers to us as sheep. You know, and the interesting thing is, sheep is primarily known for their stupidity. You know, that's what a sheep is. A sheep is dumb. Sheep is clueless. Sheep do many stupid things. And so, very applicable to our lives because we are oftentimes the same. We do the same kind of things. Isaiah 53 verse 6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, sheep are clueless. They wander off. They go astray. They get stuck. And oftentimes in the previous year where you were at the point where you said, like, Lord, I'm stuck. Please just help me. I got myself into this thing and now I'm here and what now, Lord? And that's the way sheep are. And so this is a word, hopefully, for every single one of us this morning. Another thing about sheep is they are defenseless. They don't have fangs like a bear or a lion or something. They don't have the claws to attack something. They just chow the grass and that's what they do. And they just depend on their shepherd totally. And so that's exactly what is the thing with sheep is they need a shepherd. Just like you and me, we need someone to shepherd us. We can't do it by ourselves. We know John 15:5 very clearly says, Jesus speaking, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Do you realize that this morning that you cannot do anything without Jesus Christ? I know many of us have come to that realization, but if you know that you cannot do anything without Jesus Christ, you are blessed. Because that's exactly what your shepherd wants you to realize. He knows that we are sheep. He knows we can't do our own thing properly, but he wants us to realize that. He is the great shepherd, and we need him desperately. He is the great I am. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing for me in the beginning of the new year to focus on who God is. Because he is the Almighty. And once we know who our shepherd is, the great shepherd, we can walk in so much freedom and so much rest and so much comfort and so much peace because we know he's in control. He will look out for us. And that's why I've chosen this psalm to speak about this morning. But as we go through Psalm 23 now, step by step, there's seven things I want to teach you from God, the names of God, as we go through this. We know that he's God Almighty, but first of all, if you're taking note, he is Jehovah Ra'ah, or Jehovah Ro'i, however you want to say that both of those are applicable. The Lord, my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. That is a name of God. You see, that the word Jehovah Ra'ah, it means shepherd. It means a pastor. It means a companion. Someone who is there with you the whole time, taking care of you. The Lord is my shepherd. And as we read there, the first verse, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In John 10:11-14, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. You see, so if we are the sheep of this great shepherd, he says, I know you, every single one of you individually. I know exactly what you are going through in your life, what crisis you are in. I know you because I walk with you the whole time. I am your shepherd. And so for a sheep, there's no need to worry. You don't see sheep walking around on the hillside like all tense because, you know, what's going to happen to my life? Because they know. They're just going to walk. And the shepherd, he will sort them out. And that's very similar to us today. And so listen, everyone who considers himself a sheep, worry is a sin. Worry is not something good. Worry is very bad. And the reason for that is as soon as you worry, you're looking to yourself, you're looking to your problems. You don't trust the Lord. But as soon as you trust your shepherd that he is in control of the situation in your life, there's no need to worry, no need to fear. The good shepherd, the amazing thing is he knows, like I say, every one of us, he knows our individual cases. When we deal with the Lord, he doesn't deal with us, you know, in the realm of just a general overview of everyone, like, oh yeah, I see you all here. No, he knows everything in everyone's heart. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And that's the great thing, that he is the shepherd who shepherds us individually. He knows everyone by his name or by her name. But the interesting thing is that this psalm is not for everyone. This psalm is only applicable to those who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Only the ones who are saved, only the ones who are walking with the Lord, who is part of his fold. Only his sheep can say, the Lord is my shepherd. The other ones can't say that. They can only say he is a shepherd. So that's very important for us. The thing is, obviously Jesus died for all. His saving work is sufficient for everyone, but it's only effective to those who believe. And so we, his sheep, here this morning, we know we've got all that in him. Jehovah Ra'ah, my shepherd. He will provide for all my need. I shall not want. And that's the next thing he says there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the Hebrew word there is quite interesting because it means I will have no lack. I will have no decrease. So as long as the Lord is my shepherd and I'm his child, I'm his sheep, I will have no lack of anything that I need. I will have no decrease in anything that is necessary for me to grow in life and godliness. That's what the Bible teaches us. And that's a very good thing for us, very comforting for us. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's a verse you should write down. Next time you're wondering, is God going to come through for me? Write this down. My God shall supply all your need. But listen, he says all your need. He doesn't say all your wants. Very important distinction there. Oftentimes we think we know what we want. When David writes here, he says, I shall not want, it does not mean the same thing. It means I shall not lack anything. Jesus says, I will provide everything for you that you will need to grow, to be godly, to live this life on earth that you will need. I will keep nothing from you. But it doesn't mean want. Because if God gives us everything we want, it will be the same as just feeding your kids Smarties the whole time. You know, they will get totally rotten in every way. And the important thing is, if God just gives us the whole time what we ask him, we will start taking our eyes off him. We will start putting our eyes on the things, either the things that he gives us or the things around us. And God realized that's not a good thing to do to my sheep because I love them. I want them to focus on me because I am the leader. And for that reason, God will not give you what you don't need. Psalm 34:9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him." So if you are a God-fearing person this morning, you realize who God is. I think a lot of the worship of the Lord starts with fearing him. God says in the scripture, those who want to come near me must regard me as holy. We must have a holy, reverent fear and respect for the Lord God Almighty. And God says, those my people who fear me, there is no want to those who fear him. And so if the great shepherd provides for all your need, obviously you shall have no want. You can read it in two ways. I shall not want. I shall not want anything because what shall I want if God is taking care of all my needs? Then there's nothing outside of that that I'm like, okay, I just want that one more thing. God will give you that in the perfect right time. There will be no more desire left. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Do you realize that? That's what God says in his word. He won't withhold any good thing from you if you walk uprightly, if you walk in righteousness, if you are his. And so if you don't have something this morning that you think you really need, maybe you just don't need it at all. Maybe that will not be good for you because God says he won't withhold any good thing. You see, God is never against us having things even. He's just against us, the things having us, so we can't be there being led by him through the Spirit. So that's very important for us. So first of all there, he is Jehovah Ra'ah or Jehovah Rohi. Secondly, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. The word Jehovah Jireh, it literally means the Lord will provide. If you think back to Genesis 22, where Abraham walked up and they came up to Mount Moriah on the top there, and he wanted to sacrifice him. At that moment when he was laying there, he didn't want to kill his child. Isaac was the promised child. And at that moment, the Lord said, "Don't hurt the child." And he says, "Look there, in the thicket, there's a ram." And he says, "The Lord is my provider." That's what he says at that moment. He calls him Jehovah Jireh, Lord my provider. In this part, we see the Lord provides mainly two things. He provides rest, and he provides refreshment. And for all those of you who may be tired after the long year, this is what God provides for us. Look there at verse 2. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." That's what God does for us. He is the provider, Jehovah Jireh. He makes me. Just before you look at the green pastures and the still waters, just look at that first part. He makes me. You might say, "Well, I don't like that part." You know, he makes me. But that's exactly what God does. Sometimes God does allow trials, tribulations, sickness, and setbacks, you know, just in our life. So he makes us lie down. Because when you're down flat on your back, the best place, the only place you can look is up. And then you finally see your shepherd and you realize, "Oh Lord, I just need you." And so oftentimes that's what the Lord wants. He will do everything in your life just so you will take your eyes on, put your eyes on him and not take it off him. And so God wants you to realize that you need him for everything. And he wants you to realize that he needs to be in control of every area in your life. You see, because what we do oftentimes, we just say, "Lord, you know, I've got this part covered. I want to pray for this part. The rest, I'm doing fine in this part." But God says, "No, give me every single part of your life. I want to be part of your life because I know that you need me." Maybe you don't realize that yet. And so sometimes the problem with us is we're hearing what God is saying, but we're not listening. We're hearing God's voice speaking to us about something, but we're just not listening. And we're saying, "Yes, Lord, I know what you're saying, but..." Isn't that a contradiction? Yes, Lord, but. No buts. No buts in the Christian life. If you trust the Lord as your shepherd and God says to you, "I want you to turn left. I want you to turn right. I want you to come here." We will just know this is the best thing for us. And we say, "Yes, Lord." Not, "Lord, I know what you're saying, but you know, I've got a different idea." No, that's what we oftentimes do, and that's where we go wrong. But listen now to what he says here. "He makes me," the part we don't like, "to lie down in" where? In the desert, in the Karoo? No. "He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Because no good thing will he withhold from us." That's his plan for us. Wherever he's taking us, you may, "Well, I don't like this way." But God's intention is to lay you down in green pastures. That's where he takes you. You see, "I shall lack no food for my soul or my body because he makes me lie down in green pastures." He knows my need. He's aware of everything that I have. Sometimes when people pray, they think it's an information session. They just tell God everything that's happening in their life. It's good to, you know, ask the Lord for specific things. But the Lord already knows that. He knows us intimately. So that's the sustenance, the green pasture. Secondly, still waters. It means we shall lack no refreshment either because he leads me to still waters. That's where God takes me, to the things that I need, the food that I need to lay down. I mean, green pastures just sounds fantastic, doesn't it? Makes you, I don't know what you think of when you read the psalm, but to me it's a wonderful thing. He gives us those times of rest, those times of refreshment when we need it. He knows when we need it. John 4:13-14, Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, and he said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." You see, the world wants to get your attention the whole time on everything. But what the world will give you will never ever satisfy you. Whatever area it is, you will, every time you will try to grab something new, the world will offer all these things. You think, "If I just have that, then I'll be happy. If I just have that." How many times have we done that? How many times have we really been happy by that? No. Because every time you get there, you realize, "Oh no, there's something else for me to get." And as soon as you run according to the world, you will always be thirsty. But Jesus says to this lady, he says, "Listen, I'm the living water. If you come to me and drink, the whole story changes because Jesus is the only satisfying drink there is. When you drink of him, you will never be thirsty because he will fulfill. There will be fulfillment in that. When you drink from that still waters that he takes you to, That peace that He gives you there, if you go there, you will have rest because He knows that is what you need. And the problem is we all oftentimes just run around trying to see where we can find that little thing we have need of. Instead of just looking to our shepherd, Lord, what do I need? You already know. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, that's why David cried out. He said, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? And I oftentimes wonder, how much do you really, in your quiet time, cry out to the Lord like that? Lord, as a deer pants for the water, Lord, so much do I want you. Lord, I want you to be part of me, to be part in my life, to be everything to me. That is why David was such a blessed person, because he had this serious desire for the Lord. Above all other things, God was not just the most important thing in his life, God was his life. And then after that, everything else. And I think that's where we make the mistake. We sometimes say, well, you know, I've prioritized my life, God will be number one. But he's only a little bit more important than the rest of the things, he's number one. No, God should be everything. And then after him, on a total different category, should be the other things in your life. And so, as the deer pants for the water, that's something that challenges me because I realize sometimes when I pray, I'm not that thirsty for the Lord. And that's a problem. That's why we need to pray for holiness. And so not only is he Jehovah Roi, not only is he Jehovah Jireh, but he's also Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. You see, Jehovah Rapha means the Lord who heals or restores you. In Exodus 15, the Israelites were at Marah. The water was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And then the Lord said to Moses, put the stick in there. And he healed the water, and they called him the Lord who heals or restores. And there's many places applicable in Scripture where he's called Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals or the one who restores. Look there at verse 3. It says, he restores my soul. Isn't that just such a comforting thing to hear? He who restores my soul. The Hebrew word there is shub for restore. It's an interesting word, and it means to bring back. So obviously when you've been thirsty or you've been in trials or tribulations, it feels like your soul is all over the place. You see, your soul is that combination of your mind and your emotion. That's what we call the soul. And you may feel like you're all over the place. But God says, I will bring it back. I will restore your soul. Just come to me because that's where you will find replenishment. I am the great shepherd is what he's saying to us. And I think it's so comforting for me personally to know that I shall lack no vitality because he is the one who restores my soul. So if you are hurting today, if there's some kind of thing going on in your life that is a problem for you, or if you are in a trial or a tribulation or whatever, be like a sheep of God. Run to the shepherd and say, Lord, I need you because he is the only one who can restore your soul. Nothing else can. You see, that's why fellowship is so important for us together. We know that faith comes by hearing by the word of God. This is how we are built up in our faith. If you miss a Sunday morning teaching, you miss out on so much. You miss out on the fellowship of fellow believers. All these fellowship, we have the same problems. You miss out on those encouragement, but you miss out on the prophetic word of God who can speak to your heart and your soul. You miss out on that encouragement, and you miss out on that restoring of your soul, because that's what's supposed to be happening when we read the word of God. We should come to him. He can fix all your problems, no matter what you think. You see, God provided on the cross for us, Jesus Christ, that final cure for all spiritual, physical, and emotional sickness in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came. He is the cure. That moment, and he can heal you, Jehovah Rapha. He is also Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. You see, Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness in Jeremiah 23 verse 6, you can look it up, because he is the one who makes us righteous in the one that was promised in Jesus Christ, is how we become righteous. You see, Jesus is the king that obviously came from David's line, the one who makes us righteous by his blood, the Lord my righteousness. I'm not righteous in myself, I'm righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. He says then in the next verse, he says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. That should be comforting to us, we who are sheep. Because if we are his, we know that he leads us. He won't just let you run off a cliff, because he is not only a shepherd, he is the great shepherd. He is the best shepherd. He will look out for you. When you get yourself stuck in a hole, the shepherd will be there. He will be one to take his staff and draw you out. He will be the one to help you. He is the one who gave his life for us. That's how much he loves us. And so don't worry about it, because people often say, you know, I don't know God's will for my life. What must I do? It's a problem for me. What is God's will? God's will is not that difficult. But sometimes people, when they don't know what God's will is for them to do now, they just say, well, I'm just going to sit still. I'm just going to be at this place. You see, it's much easier to get you in a direction when you are moving. And so when you are a child of God, God will not let you walk all the way to the edge of the cliff and fall off. He won't. He will stop you. He will steer you through His Holy Spirit. It's something that we need to know as Christians. So don't be too worried, like, is this exactly the right step that I'm taking? I can't move on without this. If you're unsure, pray about it. Pray for God's leading. But as you step, as you move, God will say, listen, go this way. Go this way. His Holy Spirit won't allow you to get, you know, thrown over a cliff on the other side, because that's not the way God works. Isaiah 30 verse 21, God says, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whether you turn to the left. And that's the thing about a sheep. A sheep just follows. He just follows. He's not a leader. He can't think for himself. He's not a creative creature. And so he just follows his shepherd. And that's the best thing we can do. A sheep is just walk where Jesus calls you to walk. You know, me and Arthur were speaking about it this morning quickly. You get so tired and worn out when you try and be or try and do what God has not called you to do. But you know there's a refreshing and an energy in doing what God has empowered you through His Spirit. Because sometimes we look at the other sheep around us. We're like, oh, look at that sheep, what he can do. Wow, you know, he's an evangelist or she's this. And we look at all the other sheep around us and we get discouraged in ourselves. We're like, I want to be like that too. I want to do that too. Just do what God has called you to do, because then you will be empowered by His Spirit. If you do something that God hasn't called you to do, you will do it in your own energy and you will become tired and worn down. This is another great verse for us. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, He started this work in us. Now we're His children. He saved us. And in this, He starts walking with us and He says, I will complete it until the day of Christ. I won't leave you and say after a while, okay, sheep, you know, I've been with you for a while now, but now you're on your own. God will never say that. He says, I'm the one who will complete that work that I've started in you. And sometimes the problem with us, like I say, we've got spiritual wax in our ears. We don't hear so well. You know, we're not open to receive from God what He wants to tell us. And that's a problem for us. That's why I think so oftentimes in Scripture, especially when you read through the book of Revelation, you'll read, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That's so important for us to not just hear, but to listen what God is saying to us. You see, we shall lack no moral direction, because He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. It's not for our sake. It's not because we are such good sheep. It's because for His name's sake, He will make sure that when you are His, He will continue to lead you in the right way. Just hold on to Him. Just listen to Him. Just follow Him. That very important verse in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's a promise in the Word of God for the child of God. If in every area of your life you say, Lord, I'm going to put you first. I'm going to follow you. The Lord say, you will have peace. I will walk with you. Jehovah Chitkenu, He is the Lord, my righteousness. He's the one who takes me from here and He takes me to heaven. He makes sure that I arrive there busy with the thing that He started in me. You see, like we always say, one of my favorite verses, Matthew 6 verse 33. I can't ever say that enough. Seek first the righteousness of God and His kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. If we are busy with putting the Lord first, because we can be so busy putting ourselves first, the things that we need to do. But if you put God first, you say, Lord, I'm going to seek you every morning, every night. You're going to be my life. God says, there's no way that you're going to walk off the road. There's no way that you're going to miss where you're supposed to be going. Because if you seek the Lord with all your heart, if you trust in Him with all your heart, He shall direct your paths. That's a promise from Him. Just follow Him. Not only is He Jehovah Tzidkenu, He's also Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. You know, as Moses and the Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites there in the valley, As long as Moses had his hands up, the Israelites were winning. But then he got tired, he put his hands down, and the Amalekites, they were winning. And so Hur and Joshua came alongside, they held his arms up, and the Lord gave them the battle, he gave them the victory that day. And he says, the Lord is my banner, is what Moses said. The Lord is the one who makes the war for me. The Lord is the one who fights the fight. He is my banner. I'm going out. Wherever I'm going with his banner above me. The Lord is my banner. And if you read then verse 4, he says, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that's what every child of God can say. If you are truly his sheep, if you are holding fast to him, you can say that with your whole heart. Because yes, there will be valleys. And some of the valleys will be valleys of the shadow of death. That means that'll be right there at the bottom. But you need not fear, because not only is the shepherd with you, but the Almighty, great shepherd, is right there with you in the valley. You know, if a little child is faced with a dog sometimes, especially like Ben does not really like animals that much yet. He's scared of big dogs or whatever dogs, even small dogs. They come running at him. And he's terrified of them, and he'll just start running. When we were on holiday with this one dog on the beach, and the dog just came, and he just like freaked out. And that's exactly, oftentimes little children are like that. But what should the little child do? All he should do is run to his dad. His dad will pick him up, kick the dog away. It's nothing for the dad to deal with this little dog. But for that kid, it's a huge thing. It's the same with us as God's sheep. Sometimes we think like, this thing, I have to face it. I have to do this on my own. God says, just run to me. He's standing there with his arms wide open. He says, just come into my arms. I'll take you. I'll sort out the dog. Don't worry about that. And all the other things that will come against my sheep, just like David. He fought bears and lions and wolves. Those things God will sort out, because he is a shepherd. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord is my banner. Jesus is the one who gives us victory. And he gives us victory against the flesh. He gives us victory against the world. He gives us victory against the devil. Because that song we sing, the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not our battle to fight. We are his sheep. He's the one who takes care of us. He's our caretaker. He is our banner. I like that verse that says there in the middle of, he speaks about the valley of the shadow of death, and then he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That is the comforting thing for every child of God. No matter what you are going through in life, if you are his sheep, God is with you. The presence of the Almighty God. Just think about that for a moment. Here is God who's got all the power in the universe, who created the world like this. And he says, I am with you, my sheep. I won't let you fall off a cliff. I will be right there with you. I think that's very encouraging for us. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? It's impossible for anyone to be against us if God is for us. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 3 and 4, he says, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint, nor be afraid, and do not tremble and be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. You see, that's the child of God. We have this privilege. We know this is not our battle. We don't have to arm ourselves to the teeth and get strong in ourselves. Earlier in my life, this is something the Lord dealt with me radically. Because I was always one of those people, I wanted to be the best man I can be in every single area of my life. I remember even for years before I got married, I was like, one day I want to be the best husband, the best dad. And I did karate, I did aikido, I did all kinds of things. I was trying to do this on my own way. Everything that I did, I went to the army, I did all these things to equip myself. And then I got to that place where God said to me, no. That's not the way it goes. You're not trusting in me. You're trying to do this by yourself. And then I let it go, and I gave it to the Lord, and I stopped trying to be someone, to be this Mr. Whatever. And I gave it up to the Lord. And from that day, my whole life changed. Everything changed. Because I realized it's God's strength who's going to take me through. God's the one who's going to protect my family. God's the one who's going to do all these things in my life. And when you give that to the Lord, when you realize the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's, man, the peace just floods you. It's like David and Goliath. The whole Israel watched this huge Philistine, and they were all terrified of him. This problem there in the valley, shouting at them every day. David got there, he's just like, what's your guy's problem? This poor Philistine, you know, I'm coming with my almighty God, and this Philistine, you know, you worried about him. He's like a speck of dust before the Almighty. He can't do anything. And David, I think, was more worried for the Philistine giant than he was worried, you know, about himself, because he realized when he is going with the Lord, who can be against him? No one can be against you. And that's exactly the shepherd we have. I've got one of, if you ever go into that that comic section on our website, you can download some comics. There's one there about a shepherd. And the wolf comes to the sheep, and the sheep is just busy eating his grass. He's not really worried at all. And the wolf's like, aren't you scared of me? It's like, you ain't met my shepherd yet, you know. And the wolf looks around. You see, there's a shepherd coming, and he just runs. And that's the same thing. You see, we can be at peace because we know we have an almighty shepherd who's taking care of us. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is the one who fights for me. It says also there, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the shepherd does a lot of things with his staff. You know, yes, he hits the wolf over the head or whatever, but he also takes a staff sometimes just to get the sheep in line, and sometimes to pull the sheep out somewhere, or just to guide him, just to like, okay, don't go this way, go this way. And it's the same with the Lord in our lives. Sometimes we'll feel something, it hurts a little, like, what's going on? But the Lord's just saying, go this way, I don't want you to get hurt. And other times he's just gently pulling you, just whispering by his Holy Spirit, that still small voice, and he says, just do this. And if you obey, you're walking in the way where God wants you. But know this for a fact, that He is the one who comforts us. He's the only one who can comfort you. Nothing else, no other person. Don't try and put your comfort, get your comfort from some other person in this life. God is the only comfort that you'll ever get. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 speaks of the God of all comfort. He is able to comfort everyone. He is the one who does that. So, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He is also Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord our peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6. You can read that. We just read it over Christmas time. You see, He is the Prince of Peace. And He defeats all our enemies and brings us peace in the midst of that situation. Jehovah Shalom. In Numbers 6 verse 24 and 26, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That is the blessing to the people of the Lord. The Lord is the one who gives you peace. And that's why I said so oftentimes before, in this, you know, as a Christian, we should never be freaked out about the things that's happening around us in the world, because God is the one who gives us that peace. Jehovah Shalom. Just look there at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Only a child of God can truly say this. My cup runs over. He says, I prepare a table for you. And so the table, first of all, speaks of everything that is ours in Christ Jesus. As a child of God, everything that is ours. As you read Ephesians 1 verse 3, speaks all that we have in Christ. Every blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is ours in Christ Jesus. That is what the table signifies, what the table talks about. And the amazing thing is, he says, I'm giving you the spread of this table, everything that you need for life and godliness. It will be in the presence of your enemies looking on. He won't be able to touch that. Your enemy will be looking at you, and God will spread open this table before you. He says, that's what I have for you, my child. This is the thing that I have for you. The enemy will be powerlessly looking on, throwing remarks from the sidelines like he always does. Like I said to you before, the enemy is broken. Sin is broken by Jesus Christ. He is like an invalid. He can only sit there in a wheelchair and scream at you. Don't believe his voice. Listen to the one who fought for you. Listen to the one who saved you, who conquered the enemy. And then he says there, my cup runs over. What a wonderful thing for the child of God. If you are truly a sheep of God and you are walking with him, and his spirit is in you, he says, I will overflow you. Your cup will be overflowing. And you will know that. And I know many of us can say amen to that. No matter the circumstances around us, he will be overflowing in our lives. God's overflowing work in a child of his. John 7, 37 and 38. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so this morning, no matter how dry you may feel, no matter how parched you are, Jesus says, come to Him. He is the one, and He won't just give you a little drink like, oh, He will overflow you with His Spirit. And that's what we need to pray for too, that this church will be Spirit-empowered, will be the Spirit of God will come upon us and move us into ministry, that we will overflow to those people around us. That's what God wants for us. And He says, I'm the one who makes it available to you. So not only is He Jehovah Roi, not only is He Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, but lastly, He is Jehovah Shammah. That means the Lord my companion. Jehovah Shammah actually means, literal sense, the Lord is there. That's what it means. You can read it in Ezekiel 48:35. The Lord is there, and because He is always there, He's Almighty God, He's always got all the power, He's always wherever you are, no matter where you find yourself, no matter how far you feel removed from the rest of the world, no matter how deep in your trial and tribulation you feel, God is right there with you. And because He is there, He's your companion. Because He is always there, He will never ever let you go. And so Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is my companion. Verse 6 there, He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful promise for the child of God. Goodness and mercy. It doesn't say there that wrath and judgment will follow the child of God. It says goodness and mercy. They will be like our companions. They will keep us all the way. They will be our escorts in life. Goodness and mercy. And just think back in this last year. 2011 has just finished now. Just think back. Oftentimes, you know, you were lonely and stressed beyond your means. When you were worried, when you were in a trial or a tribulation or something went wrong, just think about that. And think now in retrospect, God's goodness and God's mercy that is there always. The Bible says God's mercy is new every morning. That's something I rejoice in. Because sometimes I'm really weary and worn out when I go to bed, but I know tomorrow morning the Bible says God's mercy is new for me every day. And so let us take hold of those promises in the Scripture. And I like this part the most, I think, because it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is such a blessing for me. Those words for the child of God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And forever means eternity. It means there's no end to that. I will be in the house of my God forever. You see, at last we reach the Father's house. It's our eternal dwelling place. We will be with Him forever. And that's exactly the same with the shepherd. At the end of the day, as he brings all the sheep into the fold, as they come into the fold, he's watching them one by one as they come in. If there's some cut or bruise, he will tend to them. He will put some oil on them. He will sort them out. If there's something wrong with them, he will look after them. As they come into the fold, he will inspect every sheep to make sure that they are doing fine. And that's the same with us. If he sees one as bruised or weary, you see, he will help him. He will soothe him. He will put the oil on him. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. That's the thing the Lord does with us. But that promise that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, in John 14, Jesus was speaking. Very important thing that he said to us in the light of the Thessalonian studies that we are going through. John 14, verse 1 to 3, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that a wonderful promise of our Father in heaven? Because yes, the picture is of the sheep and the shepherd, but remember, God is more than that to us. He is our heavenly Father. And just like we care for our kids, God says, you think you good fathers and mothers. I'm the ultimate Father. No one can compare to God. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come and get you to myself that you may be with me forever. And we'll talk about that. It refers to the rapture of the church where he comes for us and receives us to himself to take us away for honeymoon. And God will, we will be speaking about that in the next couple of weeks. But that's a promise for us that we don't need to be troubled. As sheep, we can get ourselves stuck into a lot of things. But God says, just be open to my staff and my rod that I can lead you, that I can comfort you. And so This, I think, is the word of God for us for this new year. That we can just be so confident and strengthened and encouraged in everything that happens. As we know we have a shepherd. Nothing can ever change that. No one can take him away. He will always be there, no matter what he tells you. And he will lead you all the way until we are with him forever in eternity. What a blessing we have in Christ. Jesus Christ is to his sheep all that they'll ever need. And that's why they can say, that's why every child of God can say, what shall I want? I shall have no want, because he is everything that I need. One last verse that I want to read to you in closing this study. Hebrews 13 verse 20 to 21 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That is my prayer for you in 2012, that God may do in us that what he has planned from the foundation of the world.